Here we are, off and running, hour two of Tiger Tailgating here on the home of the Tigers, WWL. Herb Tyler off today, doing some things with his daughter up there in Atlanta, Georgia. Just me solo, Christian Garrick until 4:30 when we hand things off to the LSU Sports Radio Network for the official pregame show of the LSU Tigers taking on Arkansas tonight at 6:30 in Fayetteville. Once again, happy birthday, Marines. Born in 1775, I can't say it enough, and also, more importantly, thank you and happy Veterans Day to all those veterans that served our country. My son, by the way, going in the Army Tuesday. Pretty proud of that. So, nonetheless, Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, joining us now. Louisiana Radio Network Sports, a news director. And Jeff, how are you, man? You ready to do this tonight at 6:30, LSU in Arkansas?
I hope the Tigers are. And first of all, thank you for your service, Christian, on this Veterans Day weekend.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate that. Certainly, certainly do. And look, you can wish my Marines happy birthday as well today.
Certainly can. Happy birthday, Marines.
Yeah. 1775. Anyway, so LSU, Arkansas. Man, the Tigers coming off a loss, obviously, to Alabama. And we know the record under Coach O when they've lost, they don't lose two in a row. What did you make of Coach Ogeron's somewhat critical comments of his defensive line, in particular, saying they need to get better recruits? Did you take that the way some people did?
I think he was pretty blunt, and I think he was accurate. He obviously tried to walk those comments back on Monday when he met with the media, where he first blamed the coaching and the schemes, and then execution was behind that. So, but I think his, you know, you always hear the phrase, you know, your first instinct is always the right instinct, and I think his first instinct was right, that they don't have the horses just yet to compete. Nothing against those guys that they have on that defensive line right now or the offensive line. I think it was more glaring on the offensive line, LSU's offensive line, against Alabama's defensive line. And it's nothing against that group of guys that they're trying to go out there, but You look at that O-line for LSU, I don't think there's a first-round pick on that offensive line. You're going up against an Alabama defensive line that got three of them. And it's been other than Lael Collins, who would have been a first-round pick if he had not been questioned on a murder that happened in Baton Rouge, LSU has not been producing first-round picks in recent history. I mean, really, you got to go almost all the way back to Andrew Whitworth, who's beating Father Time and is still a very effective offensive tackle for the Los Angeles Rams.
Jeff, when you look at this loss, I mean, look, 29-0, it's almost like, because of Alabama, the way we were scoring on everybody, it's almost like, hey, that wasn't bad when you consider it. But they've got to get some production on offense, have to.
Well, you have two games coming up here, Christian, that they better get some offensive production. Sure. And I know the weather is not going to be the best tonight. But as long as it's not windy, they should be able to throw the football. I mean, you look at if you look at these numbers right now, statistically for LSU, they're not good at all. I mean, they have seven touchdown passes on the year. I mean, teams like Georgia Tech, Air Force, triple option teams have as many touchdowns as that passing the football. I mean, once again, LSU is ranked above or in the hundreds when it comes to pass offense. It's like LSU can't escape that. But now you got a couple games here against Arkansas and Rice, and I would imagine Texas A&M too. LSU should be able to throw the ball, but you should be able to get some time for Joe Burrow, get him to make some plays down the field. It's not just the offensive line. It's not just Joe Burrow. It's not the receivers. It's a combination of everything. All that, Burrow's got to be more accurate, get rid of the ball faster. O-line's got to give him more time at times. And the receiver's got to catch the ball and get open. And that needs to really happen here over the next couple of games.
Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, also Louisiana Radio Network sports and news director. And Jeff, you mentioned this should be two games in a row where LSU should be able to hang up some points. Is it still, though, very much about the wide receivers? Are we going to see some of these receivers that we've been hearing so much about really start to make strides? I know they're young there, but that has to happen here soon. You're no longer a young player at this juncture of the season.
Yeah, I would agree. The Terrace Marshall of the world, that guy, you would hope some of these freshmen that they've had, they should grow up and become bigger players, bigger receivers. You know, Justin Jefferson continue to develop. I would say this, Christian. I mean, if you don't really see this passing game improve a lot, or at least show signs of something here in these last three games, then I really feel that Ed Orgeron should open up that quarterback competition again. I mean, he's opened it up before. I mean, it was going into the 2017 season when we all knew that Danny Etling was going to be the starter. Ed Orgeron would not name one. So you need to see – I mean, you need to see it on all levels here, with the as I mentioned, with the receivers, the O-line, and Joe Burrow. And I think we've seen enough from Burrow to think that he could have some good games coming up here. But he did not – it's just not the Alabama game. He did not look good in the Mississippi State game. And you're still looking at a completion percentage of 54%. And in today's game of football, and you look at these quarterbacks now, you got to be completing around 60% or so. Especially when you know the bar is trying to get to where Alabama's at. And so you got to be a more accurate passer.
Jeff, is it time to get Miles Brennan on the field at least? Just to, you know, even though you can still redshirt him, I was told early on when they made the decision to go with Joe Burrow that Miles Brennan was going to receive some significant playing time. He's yet to do so this year.
Well, Orgeron left us a little nugget. I think it was Monday, I guess. Where he talked about how Miles has been banged up on a few games. So that might be why there seemed to be some spots. You know, the Southeastern game, you would have thought Miles Brennan would have played. But they never put him in there. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he'll play tonight. I would imagine you're going to get a pretty good effort here from Arkansas, where this game is it's not put away just quite in the – started the fourth quarter anyways. But I would think next week against Rice, we should see some Miles Brennan. I would think you'd like to throw him out there and see what happens. I mean, Rice has won one game so far this season. If that's a game that's not, you know, at least 28-0 or something by halftime, then there's there's something kind of seriously wrong there. Yeah. So, I think now, you know, you got four games left to play with. You can play them as much as you want. Still redshirt them? Sure, if the opportunity presents itself.
Jeff, I got to go a little high school with you here because I know you do a lot on the prep scene. All of a sudden, Hanville gets their quarterback back, and they're rolling pretty good. They got Zachary this Friday night at their place. That's shaping up to be one heck of a football game.
Yeah, it is. And it's, you know, they beat a Walker team last night that had a really nice season despite losing their head coach after two games. Lester Ricard was fired because of some off-the-field issues. So, but Hanville, and this is a rematch of the 5A championship game, too, from a year ago. And it's obviously a different dynamic now for Hanville. They're not relying on Puka Williams like they did last year. They got a quarterback that can sling it around. And it's going to be at Hanville. I would imagine it's going to be a pretty electric atmosphere. If there's a high school football game that you want to get to on Friday, I would think it would be Hanville, Zachary. And Zachary's a good team, too. Really good defense. Keelan Brown is an outstanding quarterback, starting to get some looks from Baylor and schools like that. He's a junior. They got big offensive and defensive linemen at Zachary, and they know how to win come playoff time, but Nick Saltafromaggio was caught on video when he was meeting with the team yesterday after the win, saying, "I don't know what the score of the Zachary game was, but I hope Zachary won." So Hanville desperately would like another shot at Zachary, and they're going to get it this Friday.
How much different are they with Andrew Robinson under center? Have you seen him play in person live?
I have not seen him play person in live, but I know Hanville was struggling without their main guy. And the quarterback that they were playing is more like a wide receiver, or he's a more of a different type of skill position player. So they were
hamstrung. He's an athlete. Jaquan Jackson's an athlete.
Yeah, and I last I heard he was going to Tulane or he was committed to Tulane. So yeah, it's a completely different team now based on what, you know, what they did against Bourgeois last week and what they did last night against Walker. I kind of read up a little bit on the game. I mean, they're now a much more dynamic team. Now, you know, Robeson is not, based on what I can tell, is not an SEC quarterback or somebody that, but he's a legitimately really good high school quarterback that can really change your team. And, you know, the beauty of it is it's not like he was coming back. There's not really any – beauty's probably not the word because it was an ugly situation all the way around. But what benefits him is the fact that at this point that it wasn't like he was hurt. He was still practicing with the team all season long. So it doesn't appear to be this huge adjustment over the last couple of weeks that you throw him out there. The team was really able to get off on a strong foot right off the bat because he's been practicing with the team all this time.
Jeff Palermo's Tiger Tailgating on WWLAMFM.com. All right, welcome back. Tiger Tailgating. Seth Dunlap sits down with NFL and college football analyst Mike Dettilia, his insights into the draft, LSU and Arkansas. Take a listen.
Like we do every single week, we like to bring on in Mike Dettilia before these LSU games to give us his insights into the upcoming NFL draft, brought to you by the Sports Medicine Center at the Thibodaux Regional Medical Center. And Mike Dettilia, here he comes. And Mike, LSU, they're trying to bounce back here, and I guess a pretty good week to do it against an Arkansas team that's really struggling.
Yeah, boy, Seth. You talk about a total rebuilding job for Chad Morris. They're 2-7, 0-5 in the SEC. And this program has been in a talent free fall. And you see it with the draft numbers where in 2015 and 2016, they had produced 10 players to the NFL draft, but five each year. 2017, down to three. Last year, down to two. Now, just compare that to LSU. You know, the last 2 years, Arkansas produced five players to the NFL. LSU's produced 15 guys. So, I mean, it's unbelievable of how this has really dipped for them. And you see it so much on the defensive side of the football. Arkansas has not had a defensive player selected in the top 100 since 2012. Defensive end Jake Briquette, who got drafted by the Patriots, a defensive end. That was 2012. They have not had a top 100 defensive player since. LSU had five defensive players selected in the top 100 the last 2 years. So you can see where, you know, they've been able to score points, but they can't stop anyone. And so that's been a huge part of what's happening at Arkansas in recruiting defensive players. And part of that is they're trying to get better, and they're going after a lot of Louisiana players. They are involved with about eight players in the state of Louisiana today to recruit to University of Arkansas. They already have 13 on the roster.
Wow, yeah, and it's a big class here in Louisiana that everybody's trying to go after this year. Over on offense, they do have a young sophomore, and I know that he's not going to be on your board yet, but Rakeem Boyd, is he somebody you're eyeing in the future here that can play on Sundays?
Yeah, no question about it. He's probably the most talented football player that they have on that team. Because if you look at this year's class, they got one player on offense that's going to get selected. Yelta Frohart, the big offensive guard for them. He's a foreign exchange student from Denmark who went to IMG Academy, heavily recruited defensive lineman, could have went to Ohio State and selected to go to Arkansas. Instead, a three-year starter, probably end up being a middle-round pick. But there's no question. He's their most talented guy, and they rely on that tremendously in this offense. You will see a lot of spread offense. Three, four wide receiver sets trying to spread the field out. And that helps the running game because you got to match up. You got to take people out of the box to go out and go one-on-one with receivers. You'll see a lot of quick slants, quick screen passes, that sort of thing. It'll be interesting to see with the weather conditions that it's going to be near freezing come game time. Man, that ain't LSU weather. They haven't played in that. Now, they did play in some really bad weather last year when they played Tennessee, a driving rainstorm, and then it got really cold. I know Coach O told me through all his years as a coach, that was one of the coldest events he had ever been through. He said, once it stopped raining, man, he said, I got ice cold when that wind started to hit me.
Oh, Mike, you know that's my kind of weather, so this is something I'd be looking forward to here. You know, Arkansas, obviously the lack of talent there, gives us a quick little good chance here just to check in on LSU, which we haven't done the last few segments with you. Has anybody improved their draft stock for the Tigers with their play over the last few weeks here?
This is a really small class for LSU, and certainly Devin White, Greedy Williams, they're going to come out early. And you're talking about two guys that will be picked in the top 15. I think the one guy, senior-wise, has really played extremely well when he's been healthy has been Garrett Brumfield. He's an interior player. He's a guard. Was a highly recruited football player coming out of high school. He has been a really good football player for LSU. And what I see with him was he was always a really good run blocker, Seth. Now he's become a really competent pass protector. Does a nice job, in the pass protection part of the game, technique-wise, and using his arms and hands. He is still battling that knee and ankle injury that he has. But I think he's a guy that has moved himself up into the middle rounds of the draft. And, you know, you look at it across the board, other than Brumfield, maybe Nick Bosett. He was a guy that was completely off the radar when the season started. And he's put up some nice numbers here where he could possibly be a late-round selection. Again, he had to wait his turn behind some pretty good backs at LSU. But I think it's going to be his ability to catch the football that I think will surprise some people. He catches the ball real well coming out of the backfield, and he's a really good athlete. Now, he rides high in the saddle as a runner, and he takes some major shots. But he's a guy that could well, with a strong closing part to the 2018 season, get himself selected in the 2019 draft.
Well, keep an eye on that. We'll keep an eye on Brissett and Brumfield and these Tigers as they play in the near-freezing temperatures over there in Fayetteville. Well, in just a few hours here today, Tigers and the Hogs. Mike, always appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week for Rice.
Thank you, Seth.
All right. Mike Dottiglia's insights into the 2019 draft have been brought to you by the Sports Medicine Center of the Thibodaux Regional Medical Center. Now back to Christian Garrick and Herb Tyler for the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show.
Hey, Carl. Welcome back to Tiger Tailgating.
Hey,
Carl,
how you doing?
On line one.
Yeah, how you feeling?
I'm good, man.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to tell you good. I know you were in the Marine Corps, and I just wanted to thank you for your service.
Well, thank you,
I'm
man.
A veteran
appreciate
myself.
That. Well, thank you.
Listen, I wanted to talk. I was listening on the radio, and this is where I'm at with LSU. They talk about the talent gap between Alabama and LSU after they played each other. I don't see it that way. It's not a talent gap. Where you got a talent gap is where you're going to play tonight. When LSU plays Arkansas, there you're going to see a talent gap.
But yeah, that's where ultimately, Carl, that's where LSU has to flex their muscle and show that, yeah, they might be behind Alabama, but there's no way that they should let an Arkansas team hang with them. I know they're going to be playing in frigid temperatures, but LSU should take care of business. Jimmy Smith, TigerDetails.com, coming up after our CBS News headline here on WWL. All right, welcome back. Tiger Tailgating here. Going to have Jimmy Smith from TigerDetails.com here momentarily. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Looking at some of the college football scores from around the country. Alabama on top of Mississippi State early, 14-0, number one versus number 16. Kentucky and Tennessee, the Volunteers early in that ball game in the second quarter on top of the Wildcats, 3-0. How about the Washington State Cougars taking on Colorado in Colorado? They're down right now in the second quarter, 7-3 to the Buffaloes. Michigan, Rutgers, number four, Michigan and Rutgers tied at 7 in the second quarter as well. Northwestern against number 21, Iowa, tied at 0, scoreless in the second quarter as well. Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. Right now, the Sooners are trailing Oklahoma State 21-17, 12:15 remaining in the second quarter of that ball game. No major upsets so far in college football. Ohio State ended up winning again. Looking at some of the – you need some help if you're a Tiger fan that's thinking that perhaps, LSU can get in with two losses. By the way, the Cougars, of Washington State just went up 9-7 over Colorado in the second quarter. Jimmy Smith, TigerDetails.com. Jimmy, how are you?
Hey, bud. How you doing?
Good.
Can you hear me?
Looking forward to tonight at 6:30, LSU and Arkansas. I just had a caller, Jimmy, that basically said, look, the talent disparity between Alabama and LSU is this, and it's obvious. We saw it last week. But there's no reason why LSU should not throttle this Arkansas team. I know it's on the road. I know it's senior night, but there's a huge disparity between Arkansas and LSU.
There is, talent-wise. But there could be other factors here at play. LSU's coming off of brutal loss, right? So you have the emotional letdown. Physically battered. I mean, Alabama games are always extremely physical. Cold weather. There's a lot of reasons LSU could come out sluggish, slow, be a little flat. And Arkansas, this is their bowl game here. Let's call it what it is. This is the biggest game of the year for them. They're trying to end on a good note, trying to have a key win under their first-year head coach, Chad Morris. So I could see a situation, a scenario where Arkansas hangs in this game due to some, maybe not as much effort as we're used to seeing from the defense, and maybe some penalties and some mistakes on offense and things of that nature that lets them hang around. And if you hang around games, anything can happen. We've seen that in the past. And so it wouldn't surprise me to see Arkansas put up a fight here and make things interesting.
Jimmy Smith, TigerDetails.com, at Jimmy Smith on Twitter. And, Jimmy, you mentioned how the disparity, all the things that are at play here with the weather, et cetera. They're going to be geeked up. It's senior night for Arkansas. Mm-hmm. On offense, last week you get shut out. Was that more the offensive line or Joe Burrow, you think, or a combination of both?
I think it was a combination of both. I was watching his footwork early in the game, and I've been paying attention to it year-round. He wasn't quite settled in early. I think, the excitement of the game, probably. And before he had time to settle in, he had rushers in his face. And so he kind of had some happy feet. But he certainly didn't get any help from the offensive line. The offensive line, I was watching tape again this morning. They were getting beat time after time with double teams. You can't get beat having guys split double teams the way that happened in that game. I mean, they doubled guys on almost every play, and a lot of those guys won those battles, and that's just not acceptable. So I think, neither one, Joe Burrow or the offensive line, had a good game, and the failures probably fed off of each other. As one group struggled, so did the other, and neither one was able to kind of take the charge and take the lead and help them mount anything on offense that even remotely looked like a top 10 program.
TigerDetails.com, Jimmy Smith joining us here on Tiger Tailgate, and at Jimmy Smith on Twitter. What can folks find right now at TigerDetails.com, Jimmy?
Yeah, of course. The basketball wrap-up last night, the latest in all the recruiting news. The basketball team looks darn good, Christian. I don't know if you've been able to put your eyes on that team yet, but that is an extremely impressive athletic group. They're young. They're starting to gel. So we've got some video interviews with Will Wade and some of the players on that team. Naz Reid had a big night last night. Of course, we have some looking forward to this game today. We sat down with the publishers of the Arkansas site, or the writers from the Arkansas site, and exchanged questions with them pertaining to this game. So we have that information as well, and all the latest recruiting updates, as always.
Yeah, it is a subscription site, but it's worth it, that's for sure. You get chock full of information, inside information. In particular, when it comes to recruiting, TigerDetails.com, they've got it like nobody else, and it's pretty impressive. What impact did that have last week on recruiting, Jimmy, while we're talking about it? Losing, getting shut out by Alabama, did it impact it?
I think it probably did for certain position groups, primarily quarterback and maybe wide receiver. LSU's had a difficult time convincing quarterbacks to come down to Baton Rouge and be the guy that could turn things around. And they've showed some promise with Joe Burrow this year, and they've sure talked up a big game. Ed Orgeron's been selling the new offense as much as he can publicly. And then you come out in a game like that and you put up 12 rushing yards. And you had defenders beating up your quarterback the whole game. No receivers really getting open. There were only three or four routes I saw the whole game where it looked like guys were getting separation on defenders. So I would think for quarterbacks, particularly younger quarterbacks that are looking to see what offense might suit them, I'm sure it doesn't sit well with them. And LSU's always been able to get premier receivers despite their struggles on offense, and primarily local talent. A lot of that talent comes from the state of Louisiana. But if you're a wide receiver, you couldn't have felt good about what you saw in that passing game last week. But they have had more success this year than they did in that one week. And so when you put the whole thing together and the whole package together, there shouldn't be too much concern. But I'm thinking some quarterbacks are probably sitting back wondering, you know, what's the future of this offense look like?
Jimmy Smith, TigerDetails.com. We'll step away and come back more from him and his insights next here on Tiger Tailgating on WWL. Hanging out with Jimmy Smith, TigerDetails.com, at Jimmy Smith on Twitter. Breaking down LSU and Arkansas at 6:30 in Fayetteville. For a brief moment, I want to remind you, it is Veterans Day weekend, so make sure you thank and honor our veterans, our heroes, the ones that served this country for our liberties, such as watching a game like LSU and Arkansas tonight. Happy Veterans Day to all of those veterans. Jimmy, shifting gears a little bit to high school football, Andrew Robinson returning to Hinesville. I saw him last week against H.O. Bourgeois, then he goes to Walker last week. The Tigers do, and he puts up some gaudy numbers. Man, he threw 3 touchdowns in the first half, 200 yards passing. How different is that Hinesville team, and how dangerous is that Hinesville team with him now at quarterback?
I think next week's matchup against Zachary might determine who makes it out of that side of the bracket to the dome. Going into the season with Robinson on the roster, I expected them to make a run for the state championship this year. And now that he's back and you know, one of the silver linings, I think, of him not playing is that defense was really tested a lot this year. They were on the field a lot this year. Since he's been back, they've been lights out. And so I think that's a battle-tested group. Robinson has a great rapport with Jaquan Jackson and some of his other offensive players. I think they have a real shot. If they can get past Zachary, I think we're going to see them in the Superdome. I think they're a phenomenal team, probably the best 5-5 high school team we might ever see in the state. You know, I mean, beating Walker is no easy task. They have some premier prospects on that team. Very good team. They were the 11th seed, I believe, in the state. And they got rumped last night. So I think Hinesville has a real shot here.
I said it last night on Twitter. If he was 6'4", if he was 6'4", Jimmy, he'd have every school in the country beating down his door. That Robinson can absolutely spin the football. You know firsthand, you had him at 7-on-7.
Yeah, I mean, and it's really what he does before the snap that's most remarkable. When you see him, he's making all the checks. He's given the offensive line their assignments, and they've given him some freedom to do some different things and check out of plays and things of that nature. And he knows where he wants to go with the ball pre-snap. And he's very good at manipulating defensive backs and safeties, using his eyes to kind of open up some passing lanes and windows. And you're absolutely right. The kid can sling it. Not only is he extremely accurate, a lot of those balls have a lot of zip on them. And I'm with you. I think, you know, you add a few inches to him. I don't even know if he needed to be 6'4", to be honest. If he's 6'1", 6'2", he might be able to pick his school. He's got all those tools, all the intangibles you look for a premier quarterback. He's just missing a few inches. But some school is going to take a shot on him, and they're really going to get paid huge dividends for doing so. I think the kid's a pure winner, and wherever he goes, I'm sure he's going to find his way on the field.
Jimmy, shifting back to LSU and Arkansas, man, the defense for the Razorbacks, has LSU faced the defense? Is Ole Miss defense worse than Arkansas?
I think Arkansas's might be a tad worse, to be honest. They've been atrocious this year, and it's really just a lack of talent. While Ole Miss is pretty bad, they have a few players on that team that are pretty darn good. I don't know if Arkansas has any of those guys. Santos Ramirez, pretty good defensive back out of northern Louisiana, but he might be their best player on defense. And that's a kid that I don't even think would start on LSU. So, it's definitely an opportunity for Steve Ensminger and the offense and the staff and the players to kind of go out and rebound from being shut out last week. They should be able to run up some pretty good offensive numbers. We're just curious to see. There's been a lot of instances this year where we thought, you know, LSU would be able to roll and put up some gaudy numbers, but they struggled for a half or a couple quarters throughout the game, and it just wasn't consistent enough. But I certainly think they have the talent advantage here, and they should be able to have their way with the Razorbacks defense.
LSU and Arkansas coming up at 6:30 tonight right here on the home of the Tigers, WWL. If you have a question, 504-260-1870, text 870-870, or a comment about today's game, feel free. In particular, recruiting, We got the guy that could talk it, Jimmy Smith, TigerDetails.com. If you have a question about recruiting for LSU, certainly he is all over that. And, Jimmy, when I continue to look at this game, LSU and Arkansas, I can't help but think that this should be a win going away. But some of the things that I think are positive about LSU, they have an opportunity to win 10 games, which at the beginning of the year, nobody thought that was going to be possible. And here they are, if they finish strong with three straight wins, could end up in a really nice bowl game. And 10 wins for a team that was projected to win 7, I think would be a significant accomplishment for Coach O and that program.
I think you're dead on. I mean, Vegas had them at 7 wins. I think I projected 8 or 9 on our site. Sam and Jarrett, our other two writers, had them at 7 wins. If you would have told any fan coming into the season facing the gauntlet, the schedule they had in front of them, that they would have 10 wins at the end of the regular season, I think any LSU fan would have taken that. Of course, 29-0 against Alabama always stings, but the big picture here is this is supposed to be a rebuilding year. This is one of the youngest teams LSU's had in quite some time. If you can walk out of this schedule with 10 wins, with a new offensive coordinator, your third offensive coordinator in 3 years, and a new quarterback transfer and everything else that's come into play, and let's not remember they've lost key starters to suspensions, key contributors to injuries. So this team's taken some bumps along the way and still have found ways to win games they weren't supposed to win. And so I would think 10-2 would be a huge year, one that the staff can hang their hat on, one that would put a lot of smiles on LSU fans' faces. And I'm wondering if they do go 10-2, is Ed Orgeron the coach of the year in the SEC? I think you could definitely make that argument.
Yeah, I had Jeff Palermo on last hour and kind of said that, just that. I mean, not just the SEC. I think in college football in general, when you consider what he's gone through, he's lost Kalyvon Chasson, the young team, breaking in a new quarterback, all the things that you talked about, that's not no easy thing to do. But I think for a recruiting class of 2018 that could be among the best or if not the best in the country, you put up 10 wins with that team, I think it shows. I think it changes things, I guess, for recruits in 2019 and beyond, where they can say, all right, well, LSU is only a player or two or three away from being able to hang with the likes of Alabama. And you know, kids these days, Jimmy, you're talking to them more than I am. There's a certain part of them that likes being that movement where they can go, all right, I want to be a part of the ones that – I want to be a part of the group that turns it around for LSU and finally gets them over the hump against Alabama. That's not all that far stretched.
No, not at all. And I think, a perfect example is not everybody takes the number 7 jersey at LSU. They want to carve a name out and make a name for themselves, and they don't want to be just another guy. There are a lot of kids that look at programs that are on the cusp and want to be that difference maker. Look how Ole Miss was able to recruit a handful of years ago. That's what they sold. Hey, we can build something with you guys. You could be the face of this program. You could be the one that changed the direction of this program for the good. So there's a lot of prospects that look at that game and say, okay, LSU's had a good year. They're obviously a little shorthanded, don't have the talent to compete with Alabama right now. But as you stated, if you watch the season and watch that game, it's a couple bodies in the trenches probably makes quite a difference. And so those guys on the offensive line and defensive line, I'm sure a lot of them are thinking that and seeing potential to step in right away and contribute right away. Whereas if you go to Alabama's or Georgia's or some of these other schools that might have more depth at those positions, they'll have to wait their turn. So while it might turn some guys off thinking LSU's not the premier program they once were because of how they were thumped by Alabama last week, I don't think that's the feeling of most. I think, as you stated, most of them are thinking they could be that difference maker. They all think they're better than the next guy. That's just kind of what goes in this. Confidence is key here, and these prospects think they are the next big deal.
Jimmy Smith, TigerDetails.com. Stick around. We're coming back for more here on Tiger Tailgating on WWL. All right, Tiger Tailgating continues here for the next half hour. We're going to talk to Nikki Chavanel, managing editor, HogBeat.com. Also, Jimmy Smith, TigerDetails.com. Stick around. 30 minutes to go. We'll hand things off to the LSU Sports Radio Network. Get you set for LSU and Arkansas tonight at 6:30 right here on WWL. Happy Veterans Day.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.